Steve Earle is a master storyteller, and he would tell you he learned from two of the best, Townes Van Zandt and Guy Clark. And in 1995, the three shared the stage at Nashville's Bluebird Cafe.
Me and No Bill, they both come from Georgia. Met Hank out in New Mexico.
They're singing Steve Earle's Mercenary song. Well, a decade ago, Steve Earle won a Grammy for his album Townes, recordings of songs written by Van Zandt, who died in 1997. His new release is a bookend and a sad one. 16 songs written by Guy Clark, who died in 2016. It's simply called Guy, and it comes out tomorrow.
If I can just get out of this L.A. freeway when I can kill the car.
Steve Earle's cover of Guy Clark's L.A. Freeway, and Steve Earle joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Steve, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
And what a beautiful tribute to your old friend, your mentor. But for the uninitiated, finish this sentence, and I have a feeling it's going to be more than a sentence. Guy Clark was...
The greatest story songwriter that ever lived. He was an incredibly disciplined artist and thought of himself as an artist, and we all did, everybody that came up, you know, his peers and the people that came up after him. You know, I got to Nashville at this moment when there was this salon going on with Guy and his wife Susanna at the center of it, and a lot of it was there was no place to play. We wrote new songs. We played them for each other sitting around rooms in the middle of the night. Mostly we were trying to impress Susanna, I think. she was... beautiful for one thing, but she also I learned how to write songs from Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt, but I learned how to carry myself as an artist from Susanna.
Well, first of all, there is a photograph that some say is one of the most famous in country music history. It was taken on Guy and Susanna's porch in 1972, and you can see the beautiful Susanna and Clark and Van Zandt and Daniel Antipolsky.
It's
a picture from photographer Al Clayton, so you can see a little of that world that you are describing. I mean, it's that sense of gathering of people and gathering of songs. And just talk about the songs. We just heard a little of L.A. Freeway. We're going to hear more in a second, but look at these lyrics. Pack up all your dishes, make note of all good wishes, say goodbye to the landlord for me. That son of a bee has always bored me. Throw out them L.A. papers and that moldy box of vanilla wafers. Adios to all this concrete. Going to get me some dirt road back street.
I've been down the road in a cloud of smoke to some land. I am
It's just detail. That's what he did, you know, better than anybody that I'd ever seen up to that point. And for one of the reasons I threw everything I'd written up until I moved to Nashville away and started all over again when I got to Nashville and saw what other people were writing, and especially Guy. And I think something that I've discovered that I have is a great tool to be born with, maybe, is a memory for detail. Because Guy was writing stuff like Desperado's Waiting for a Train. That's about Jack Prigg, who died when Guy was grown. But most of that story comes from, you know, you're talking about an 8 or 9 or 10 year old Guy Clark.
Let's listen again to Desperado's Waiting for a Train. Jack Prigg, who he thought was his grandfather, found out it was his grandmother's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Let's listen a little.
I'd play the Red River Valley. He'd sit in the kitchen and cry. Run his fingers to 70 years living. One lot is every well I drill gone dry. With his friends, me and this old man, like desperados waiting for a train.
So here he is singing about this guy, a drifter, a driller of oil wells. He taught me how to drive his car when he was too drunk to. He'd wink and give me money for the girls. From the time I could walk, he'd take me with him to a bar called the Green Frog Cafe. As you said, these childhood memories, he remembered.
He did. And the thing is, the difference between Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt is like the difference between Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg. One, not particularly disciplined, didn't live very long, didn't work that much the last few years of his life. And then Allen and Guy were incredibly disciplined and left huge bodies of work. Consider Guy had cancer the last 10 years of his life, and he still worked till the very end. And not like he was an angel. He had his own, you know, issues with various demons, but he got up and he worked every single day. And I learned from him that these things that artists do, they call them disciplines for a reason.
Yeah. Can you tell us more about, we hear about the grandfather. I want to listen to a little bit of Randall Knife and Elegy for His Father. Let's listen.
My father was a good man, a lawyer by his trade. Only once did I ever see him misuse the blade. It almost cut his thumb off when he took it for a tool. Oh, the knife was made for darker things, it could not bend the rules. Let me tell you, camping once on the Boy Scout Jamboree, I broke a half an inch off trying to stick it in a tree.
So Steve Earle, Guy Clark goes on to talk about his father, who, by the way, he was given that Randall blade, that knife, by Guy Clark's mother, his wife, when he went off to World War II. And he writes, my father died when I was 40. Couldn't find a way to cry. And also in this song, which is just mind-boggling, I don't think of Guy Clark as a Boy Scout, but, you know, his dad
I was a Boy Scout, too.
There you go.
So get rid of that one, so...
That's right. Maybe like him, you went to a jamboree. He writes about that in this song.
I went to three jamborees. I developed discipline problems that I never quite made it to Eagle. But I was really into scouts. I started as a Cub Scout
when
I was eight. And I was a Boy Scout until I was 12, I guess.
Yeah,
almost 13.
But talk a little more about, you know, the Guy Clark who, as you write, he always seemed like he was going to reverse in age. He was younger all the time. But this man who, with that smoky voice, he becomes a certain character in our eyes. But he was a Boy Scout, and he had a father who had a knife that he'd throw. And, you know, just who was he? How did he grow up?
Well, it's 1 foot in West Texas, 1 foot in Southeast Texas and in the Gulf Coast. You know, his father practiced law in Houston part of the time and lived in Rockport. And Guy grew up in Rockport. He moved to Rockport when he was in high school. When he was younger, he ended up living, you know, with his grandmother. There's a whole West Texas school of songwriter, which Guy is sort of attached to because he does come from there. But I'm talking about Joe Ely and Butch Hancock and Terry Allen and all those guys. And, you know, I think Terry and he were very close, and I think West Texas was the common denominator, but that in art in and of itself. Because Guy painted as well, and he was pretty good.
It's late afternoon, a hot Texas day. Something strange going on. We're all in the way.
When you were doing these songs with your band, The Dukes, how much of this was memory for you?
This radio channel that I'm on, the satellite radio channel I'm on, has a cruise that we do every year.
Hmm.
And it's largely music. We play a lot of Guy Clark. The first place I actually played all this stuff in front of an audience was on that cruise. And I got two songs into it, and I said to the audience, oh, I just realized what the problem with this tour is going to be. It's going to be getting through this show without crying every night. It was incredibly emotional.
Yeah.
It was people in the audience were crying. And because, I mean, I think people in the world where I live, Guy Clark's a big deal. And he was a trip. He was he was one of the smartest people that I ever knew. He was one of the most stubborn people that I ever knew. We went through periods when we did, we weren't really estranged, but we didn't hang out with each other a lot simply because I was just trying to not get myself around some things, and I knew they would be going on, so I kept myself away, and I communicated with him, and I would see him when we were out doing shows, but I didn't go over to his house for a long time. And then the last couple of years he was around, I made it a point to see him as much as I could. But it...
Well, let me just jump in to say, you've been sober for two decades, so...
It's 24 years.
All right. Take away a day. Go ahead.
Which, they're all mine, so... I know what I'm comfortable with and what I'm not comfortable with. And for a long time, I wasn't comfortable with putting myself right in the middle of all that, so I didn't. So there was a period that we didn't see each other for a while.
Right, but I hear you, and what I would have guessed is that this is there's a lot of emotion here. And for other people, too, we're going to go out with the Guy Clark song, Old Friends, a lot of yours and his on the record. We'll listen for Rodney Crowell, Jerry Jeff Walker, Emmylou Harris, Sean Camp, Terry Allen, more.
Mickey Raphael plays harp on it because he was on all the Guy's early records. Mm-hmm. Berlin Thompson, that's most important because he was Guy's guitar player and traveling companion for all the touring that he did the last 25 years or so of his life.
Well, I can't imagine what it's like when you perform that one, but thank you so much for putting it together for all of us. That's Steve Earle, the new album, Guy, a tribute to Guy Clark. Steve, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Oh, friends, shine like diamonds. Oh, friends, you can always call. Oh, friends, Lord, you can't buy them. No, it's old friends after all.